You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Friday, it was announced that the production of Mana magazine would be put on hold indefinitely by its owner, Mana Productions, who says at this stage they do not intend to continue publishing it. For the past 3 years, the magazine's license has been held by Corfi Media, who employed former music journalist Leonie Hayden as its editor. The license returned to Mana Productions this month, and on Twitter, Hayden has described their current stance of not continuing with the magazine as a waste. I spoke with Leonie Hayden about the importance of Mana magazine, Corfi's unsuccessful bid to buy the title, and her new project with the spin-off. What's your understanding of the reasons that Mana Productions is no longer publishing the magazine?
So, yeah, when Corfi Media took over the license to publish Mana, we agreed that we'd sort of start negotiations 6 months before that license ran out to try and purchase the title. So that happened 6 months ago. We made an offer to Mana Productions on behalf of Corfi Media. We made an offer based on the small amount of profit that we'd been able to turn over that 3 years or 2.5 years, plus a little bit more. And it was a reasonable offer, and it was certainly a lot more than a lot of magazines sell for these days. I myself once worked for a magazine that ended up being sold for $1. So we thought we were offering quite a good price, but we had our offer rejected. You know, and that's their right to reject their offer, I guess. But we were also aware, based on, you know, working in publishing and knowing that environment quite well, that there was no other publishing company in New Zealand that would make a similar offer, because, you know, with a title that niche as well requires certain skills and sensitivities. And even if you're sort of asking, you know, if you're asking Māori organisations, which is what the Mana Productions are now sort of doing, like casting the net wider and saying Māori organisations should step up and buy this title, which is all well and good if all he wants is more money, but at the end of the day, you still require a publishing company to publish that magazine. You know, not just anyone can do it, and I think that maybe sounds arrogant, but you know, you need a fire station to put out fires. You need, you know, people who know how to do a job to do the job. You can't just sort of buy a magazine and then all of a sudden you know how to publish a magazine. So we genuinely thought we were the best people for the job, and we made an offer that reflected our respect for the title as well as what it was actually worth in the current market, and it was rejected.
Right, because I read that Corfi's director said that, yeah, Mana did perform well. Obviously, it's very tough for magazines at the moment.
Yeah.
So what would you say that were its strengths that allowed it to do so well?
So the person that would have been quoted is the director of Corfi Media, which is James Frankham. And frankly, he was what allowed it to perform so well. Corfi Media owns New Zealand Geographic, and he bought that magazine after their owners had announced that they would stop publishing it. And he is just a really smart, resourceful, enterprising guy who knows how to turn a magazine into an ecosystem, if that makes sense. Because you can no longer just publish a magazine. You know, you've got your bigger players like Bauer and Fairfax and whatnot, and APN, who, in order to stay afloat, they have to publish many magazines to keep those titles going. But James figured out how to just create lots of really great sort of satellite projects that you can attach to your magazine, which also create revenue, and then that way your magazine can continue to just sort of be the jewel in the crown, and you can put a lot of work into making it look beautiful, to actually paying writers and photographers enough to produce really great quality content. And I think personally he does that better than anyone in New Zealand, so that's the expertise he was starting to put into Mana. And it took us, you know, a long time, it took us a couple of years to even get it sort of with its head above water, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't lose any money, but we certainly weren't making money hand over fist, even though we were putting all of our considerable time and resources and expertise into it. So the next step was logically to buy it, but then to also invest more money in it so that we could build other things like a digital archive and, you know, like sort of events that you can sort of stage annually, which attract sponsors, and you tie those to the magazine. And it's all this like quite beautiful ecosystem that keeps everything going, but it also means you can have a small core staff that are paid well for what they do and also enjoy what they do without sort of that job insecurity that a lot of the publishing industry experiences.
Yeah, and I guess it's about, you know, a magazine's value isn't necessarily just about what money it's turning over either.
No.
And I wanted to ask you, what do you think were some of the most important stories that you covered during your time as editor?
Oh, there was a few. I think one of the limitations of a magazine, I guess, is you can't send a really great story as widely as you'd like, because we actually published a story about Auckland's housing crisis, reporting on the fact that families were living in cars months and months before that hit the headlines. That was a story by Aaron Snail, and that was a really important story for us, and I do wish that had gone further. We did a story last year on youth suicide about two specific areas, Northland, which is featuring again in Herald's really great coverage, and also down in Christchurch, where a lot of people were affected after the earthquakes. We've done sort of really great investigations into Māori language, over-incarceration of Māori men, you know, all these sort of big-ticket stories that sort of need to be revisited every few years. I think we did quite well by those over the last couple of years.
So if another magazine was to step up, or not necessarily a magazine, but another platform was going to step up and fill the gap that you feel Mana has left, what values or sensitivities, as you say, would it need to have?
I think the most important thing for a Māori platform is to use Māori voices. And even within that, you're still looking at a range of perspective and experiences, but we're sort of at the point where you can no longer have, you know, like a cishet white male talking about diversity. You know, the communities themselves need to be at the centre of every conversation about those communities. So Māori platforms that are talking about Māori issues need to be by and for Māori. So the section that we are hopefully about to launch soon for the spin-off, it's going to be run and edited by me, and I'll be carrying over some of my contributors from Mana so that their voices are at the centre of that. Like, I think that's the most important thing. And then other than that, I think the other important thing to realise is there's just millions of stories, you know, like and it doesn't always have to be about settlement and child abuse and incarceration. Those are really, really, really important issues. But the stuff that falls through the cracks and the amazing, like, colourful characters, and, you know, there's this wealth of stories out there in Te Ao Māori that are just sort of waiting to be talked about and presented. And so I'm hoping to keep doing that work, because I do think it's really important, rather than just always being in the news for to do with crime, you know. I mean, we sort of, when it's second to last issue, we did this amazing story on the Māori approach to infertility and some of the natural rongoā Māori practices that can be involved in that versus or complementary to IVF. You know, there is a Māori perspective on everything in our world, because we live in this world, and so there's so much to tell.
So you said that you're going to be working with a spin-off. Is that confirmed, or is that
yes?
Sort of something
I'm already working as a staff writer at the spin-off, then we're hoping to launch our Māori section very soon.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.